Welcome back, brothers and sisters. My name is A.B. Ridgeway. I'm the host of Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things, and my mom's favorite Christian financial advisor. And today we have a child of Dave Ramsey. And I'm not talking about a literal child. I'm talking about the personality, Jade Warshaw. And she did a video with the Christian Broadcasting Network to talk about the real reason you're broke. She is popular on the Dave Ramsey Show. She gives really great commentary. She's actually the author of a new book. So I am very excited to hear what she has to say behind the real reason that we are broke. Check this out.
Folks call in all the time and they're saying the same thing. They're going, Jade, I know I'm supposed to budget. Jade, I know I'm supposed to live on less than I make, but I just can't do it.
As a debt elimination expert and financial coach on the Dave Ramsey Show, Jade Warshaw sprinkles her financial advice with wit and spunk.
Having a zero credit score is just as good, in my opinion, better than having a 750 or an 800 because I don't have to play the game of debt.
Advice Warshaw once needed in her own life. 13 years ago, she and her husband Sam, both Christians, shifted their mindset, beliefs, and actions around money. Those changes enabled them to pay off nearly $500,000 of debt in under 8 years.
You don't just have $460,000 of debt and go, okay, let's just start paying it off. When you realize the mess you've made, you have to start asking yourself real questions.
Amen.
Because at that point, it's beyond the money. I did not like accountability. I felt like I deserved to be able to spend.
In her new book, Money's Not a Math Problem, The Real Reason You're Broke and What to Do About It.
I don't know, Jay. They say this concept all the time. Money's not a math problem. It is a math problem. Money's a math problem. Money's a math problem. I can't get this in our head enough. Money is a math problem, ladies and gentlemen. That's how we come up with all these numbers as far as what to invest in, standard deviation, you know, correlation, beta, alpha, is because these are math problems and they work because of math. Compound growth works because of math. Compound debt works because of math. Interest works because of math. Investing is a big math problem. That's all it is. And if you know math, you can actually make some predictions about the future if things stay consistent and they work every time. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, big, tall, small, anything. Everything is going to work out because it does revolve around math. Okay, let's get that in our head. But I get what she's saying. They are saying that if you know what the math is, know that you should save, you know you should invest, you know you should have your 401k matching, you know you should have your individual retirement account, you know you should be contributing X amount of dollars every month. If you know the math and you're still not out of debt, it's because it's more than a money problem. And that's what she's talking about, is that you have to go beyond the money. And that's what she says. She said it went past the money. It wasn't about how much money she was making. She probably was making good money. It was about the money she was spending. It was her attitudes, thinking that she deserved this. She didn't want to take accountability for the mistakes that she was making. She had a lot of cognitive dissonance, a lot of fight or flight. She's like, listen, I don't want to do the things necessary to be successful. So I'm going to do what I want. And I just hope that it works out for the best. But unfortunately, it does not. So I didn't want to get off on a tangent, but it just really irks me when people says money's not a math problem, because a lot of people aren't good at math. And that's why they're fearful of the market. But you don't have to be fearful of math. You can hire a financial advisor like me. We do math all the time. But math is just about being around it and understanding how it works and your benefit.
Warshaw candidly shares about past financial struggles and points out lies people believe about money,
yep,
including the need for a budget.
A lot of people feel that budgets are only for people who are poor, right? Budgets are for people who are bad with money, who don't make enough money. It's just all this stigma attached to it.
She adds, budgets are like toothbrushes in that everybody needs one. Warshaw also disagrees with those with student loans who don't feel obligated to pay them back, calling it a moral obligation to pay what's owed.
I want you to look at it and go, okay, I did that. It was a mistake. If you signed your name on the dotted line, it is up to you to pay for your debts.
She believes for many people, money problems are symptomatic of bigger issues.
It's about what's going on in your mind.
And at the end of the day, beliefs drive behavior. And so really that's what this book is about. It's getting down to the depth of what do you believe about money? What do you believe about yourself as it relates to money? And if you can understand that, then you can start to actually do the behaviors to make progress with your money.
How many of you in the comments, let me know, have been in a situation where it felt like you weren't getting anywhere, but once you realized it was you that was holding yourself back, what were some of the changes that you made in order to get out of your slump, or, you know, whether it's in debt or not? And one thing I do agree with her is that it is an obligation. When you sign up for student loans, you got the education. Now you don't want to pay the money back. That's not fair. You know, whether you think the price was good or not, it's not fair that you don't pay them. It's like going to the store, buying a Louis Vuitton shirt, and it costs you $1,000, and you get home, you wear it, you go to your favorite event, and then 3 years later, you realize like, oh, that was too expensive. I'm going to return it and I should be able to give it back. Come on. That's not how the real world works. Same thing with education. And the thing is, education stays with you. It'll never deteriorate in the dryer. You know what I mean? It won't shrink or anything else like that. So we really have to be careful about how we manage our money so we don't go back into our old ways. So we need to learn new strategies and new ways to get out of debt and to actually stay out of debt. And it does start with the mind. It does start with how our behaviors and our emotions align so we can do the right actions.
Meanwhile, Warshaw is grateful to share what she has learned from her journey in order to help others find the path to financial freedom.
When you're in debt, there's this stress, there's this angst, there's this constant guilt. The other side of that is complete freedom. I like to say that for most people, your bad break becomes your big break. And if you made mistakes, if you're willing to let God use that, there's no telling how you're going to be able to help the people around you.
That's the big key. Being able to help those who are around you. You know, it's kind of funny. People have this negative stigma around budgeting, but when it comes to a budget, that's what financial advisors do. So whether you like it or not, your financial advisor is most likely constructing a budget, whether behind your back or in your face, but he's taking your income. He's taking your expenses. He's looking at your cash flow. He's seeing what you can spend and what you can't spend. He's looking at some projections for the future, how much you're saving into your retirement accounts, how much you have in your brokerage accounts, how much you're earning per year. And he's making these projections and he's making recommendations based on this budget. So a lot of people think, as she said, that, you know, budgets are for poor people or people who can't manage money, but it's actually for the people who do manage money and manage it well. Even the professionals use some sort of budget to make financial decisions. That's why we have a better probability of success than the average investor, is because we are using real numbers and making our financial decisions based on those numbers instead of our emotions. That's what's so scary about them saying that money is not a math problem, because when we make decisions emotionally too much, we're bound to make too many variances. There's too many variables that are in there. You know, one day you may make a decision when you're happy, or you may make a decision when you're sad, and that can change the way that you make future financial decisions. If you have a big heart and your child needs $500,000 and you give it to them because you have a soft heart, you're going to destroy your investment on the back end unless you have, you know, $5 or $6, $10 million or whatever that you may have, but it could be bad. Or vice versa. You may have a lot of money, but you don't feel like you should be able to give it to them. Are you going to give it to them in pieces? Or maybe I'll give you $100,000 this year and $100,000 every year if you do the right behaviors, whatever it may be, but you're still making decisions based on the finances and not just emotionally. So brothers and sisters, as we wrap up today, I just want to thank you for watching the show, and hopefully that you never get to the point where you feel broke or you feel that, you know, life is hopeless. There's always hope. There's always mathematical hope for you. I mean, many people have saved up their whole lives and they've lost everything at the finish line because they didn't finish strong. They didn't have their financial five. They didn't have their financial advisor. They didn't have their accountant. They didn't have their lawyer. They didn't have their power of attorney, and they didn't have their executor, and they didn't have my ebook, The Four Pillars to Christian Investing. It's a 19-page beginner's guide that goes over debt management, savings, investing, and wealth transfers. What this episode was about debt management, and it was about savings. It's about those two behaviors that are talked about in the book. You can get a free copy. You can go to Amazon. You can pay for it if you want to, or you can go into the description, get a free copy. Also, if you like this video like this, make sure that you subscribe and like, and I'm going to put up here somewhere some of our videos. The best thing that you could do for us is watch another video. So this may cover some portion of it, but we have over 900 videos on our channel that go over all different types of investing. So you can find what works for you, whether it's retirement tips, whether it's social security, whether it's scams, all these things we can protect you from and educate you. Our last video was on car insurance, how to cut your costs. We talked about debt. We talked about the Fed rates. There's all these different types of videos that are available on our channel. So use us as a resource. So when you watch one video, come back maybe next week or in a couple of days, or maybe even after this video, check out some of our other videos and keep coming back, because we're going to keep providing information like this so you can retire rich and righteous. Well, that's it for me. My name is AB Ridgway. If you need a financial advisor, go into the description. You can always schedule a 30-minute free consultation. We'll go over some of your details and figure out how we can guide you to prosperity. Well, that's it for me. My name is AB Ridgway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.